Right now, your store cameras are recording the front door, the stock room, and, you know, the cash register.
Right.
You have managers checking bags at the end of shifts, and you are probably paying for security tags on high-ticket items.
Yeah, standard practice.
But what if I told you that your most expensive thief is not walking out the front door?
They really aren't.
That thief is actually hiding in a plain text file, a file that your bank sends you for free every single month.
Exactly.
Welcome to a strategy session here at MyPayAdvisor. I am your analyst co-host.
And I am the senior payments advisor. It is great to be here.
Today we are talking directly to you, the operator managing anywhere from $25,000 to $5 million in monthly processing volume.
That is the sweet spot.
Yeah. And our mission for this deep dive is to shift your loss prevention strategy from physical tools to forensic accounting using data you already own.
And we are drawing our analysis today from a really solid combination of sources. We have the Federal Reserve Payment Study, Visa Processing Rules, the Nielsen Report, and a great breakdown called Retail Loss Prevention, 8 Patterns in Processor Data.
Which is packed with actionable stuff.
It really is. But look, we need to ground this conversation right away in the reality of our current 2026 landscape.
Right, the macro environment.
Exactly. The latest Nielsen report projects a staggering $1.71 billion in worldwide payment card fraud losses over the next 10 years.
Wow. Billion with a B.
Billion with a B. And current total card fraud has already crossed the $13 billion mark.
That's just a massive number.
It is. Now, if you are operating in that $25,000 to $5 million volume bracket, well, there's a very high chance you are stuck on a tiered pricing model.
Oh, yeah. We see that all the time.
Right, with an effective rate sitting around, you know, 2.4%. And the problem with tiered pricing is that it actively hides the granular transaction level data you need to spot internal theft.
Okay, let's unpack this. We are throwing around massive industry numbers like $13 billion.
Yeah.
But, you know, as an operator, those macro numbers just sound like background noise. I want to know how that $13 billion manifests at my specific cash register on a Tuesday afternoon.
Well, let's look at the National Retail Federation data. A full third of total retail shrink is actually employee theft and process failure.
One third.
But most operators treat shrink as an external threat.
Right. They blame shoplifters.
Exactly. They try to solve an internal data problem by buying more external physical security.
Yeah. They angle mirrors in the back corners or they upgrade the ceiling cameras to 4K resolution.
Which doesn't help with the real issue, because the bulk of that internal theft touches the point of sale system, not the shoplifting blind spots.
Right.
Cash drawer manipulation, fake refunds, voiding a paid ticket. I mean, every single one of those actions leaves a highly specific digital footprint.
Because every card, swipe, dip, or tap creates a digital paper trail. Your payment processor sits between your terminal and the card networks. They log the authorization code, the BIN, the last 4 digits, the device ID, the exact timestamp down to the second.
Yeah.
And, you know, the decline reason codes.
They capture everything.
It is all sitting right there in the gateway.
And what is fascinating here is that despite all that data, most retailers never open their gateway portal past the daily settlement screen.
They just check the totals.
Right. A manager logs in, checks to see if the daily batch total matches the terminal tape, and then they log out.
Yeah.
They settle for a heavily summarized monthly PDF statement instead of requesting the 90-day transaction level CSV export.
And we should point out that export is completely free at almost every acquiring bank.
It is free, and it retains up to 18 months of history.
Which is just crazy to me. If this raw CSV data is so incredibly valuable, why are merchants flying blind?
It is a great question.
I mean, it feels like obsessively checking the physical locks on the front door while leaving the vault combination written on a sticky note taped to the register. You are locking down the physical perimeter, but leaving the digital cash register wide open.
Exactly. The vault door is essentially propped open. And the reason merchants fly blind usually comes down to vendor configuration, not operator negligence.
Oh, interesting. So it is the setup.
Yeah. Many point of sale integrators install these systems with the operator ID field completely disabled.
Wait, really? Why would they do that?
They do this simply to speed up the installation process or because the merchant never explicitly asked for it to be turned on.
Wow.
And if your POS system does not forward the cashier ID to the processor, well, your data is useless for loss prevention. You can see a bad transaction happen, but you cannot tie it to the specific person standing behind the counter.
That makes perfect sense. The hardware guys just want to plug it in and make sure it prints a receipt.
Pretty much.
So, assuming you, the listener, go into your settings today and turn on those operator IDs, let's look at the single most expensive leak you are going to find in that CSV file. We are talking about fraudulent refunds.
Yeah. This is a big one, but to find the anomaly, we first have to establish the baseline.
Right. What is normal?
Exactly. A typical specialty retailer should see a store-level refund rate between 1.5 and 2.5% of total sales.
Okay.
But we really need to isolate the unreferenced refunds.
An unreferenced refund being a manual return process without scanning the barcode on an original receipt.
Correct. In a healthy retail environment, that specific type of manual refund should account for under 5% of your total refund volume.
So those are the normal operating numbers.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about what theft actually looks like in the data.
Let's do it.
If you filter that CSV file by cashier ID and find an employee running a 4.5% refund rate or hitting 15% on unreferenced refunds, well, you do not just have bad luck.
No, you do not.
You have an active thief. That employee is either processing fake returns and pocketing the physical cash from the till, or they are manually keying in a refund to funnel money directly to their own personal credit card.
Let's walk through the specific case study from the source material to show the real-world math on this.
Good idea.
We are looking at a 5-location Northeast retailer doing $2 million in monthly card volume with a $45 average ticket.
Okay, pretty standard operation.
Yeah. The loss prevention manager pulls 90 days of data and filters by location. Store number one has a 1.7% refund rate.
Totally normal.
Store two is at 2.1%. Again, totally normal. But store five is a massive outlier. It is sitting at a 3.9% refund rate.
So the manager drills down into store five. Mm-hmm. They pivot the data by cashier ID. And they find one closing cashier who accounts for 62% of all refunds for that entire location.
Which is just a huge red flag.
Right. This single employee is averaging $720 a day in refunds. The other six cashiers at that store are running between 4 and 12% of the volume each.
It's just a massive discrepancy.
And when they look closer at that specific closing cashier, 48% of their refunds are unreferenced.
Wow.
Remember, the industry benchmark is under 5%. This person is sitting at 48%.
And the financial impact of this is staggering when you actually write out the math.
Break it down for us.
Well, it's $720 a day, assuming a 30-day month over a full year. You are looking at $259,200 in annualized refund flow originating from one single person.
That is incredible.
Yeah. And if we estimate conservatively that 60% of that unreferenced volume is fraudulent, that single register is leaking $74,650 annually.
Over $74,000 walking out the door.
Just gone.
That is a full-time salary plus benefits just vanishing. And think about the psychology of how a store manager misses this.
Oh, for sure.
A manager is busy dealing with scheduling inventory angry customers. At the end of the night, the drawer balances perfectly because the fake refund offsets the missing cash.
Right. The math looks clean on the surface.
They sign the slip and go home. But the data to catch it was sitting in a free file the entire time.
Exactly. Now, refunds funnel money back to cards or cover stolen cash. But employees also manipulate the point of sale workflow itself to walk out with physical bills.
Which brings us to the void patterns.
Yes, specifically the closing window void.
How does that scheme actually work?
Here are the mechanics. A customer pays for an item with cash at, say, 2.00 p.m. The cashier takes the physical cash, puts it in the drawer, but keeps the transaction ticket open. Or they retrieve it later in the shift.
Okay, they hold on to the ticket.
Right. Then they wait until the final 5 minutes before the daily batch closes for settlement, which is usually right before the store locks its doors.
Yeah.
They void that paid cash ticket. This action tells the system that the sale never happened. Therefore, the system expects less cash in the till.
So during the end of day count, the drawer balances down to the penny.
And the employee simply pockets the physical bills they collected 8 hours earlier.
So for the operators listening, what is the specific metric they should be filtering for in their gateway portal?
The action threshold is a weekly pattern of 4 to 6 closing window voids at a single terminal.
4 to 6 a week.
Yes. If you see that cluster happening consistently right before batch settlement, it is the leading indicator of cash manipulation.
I have to play devil's advocate here, though.
Go for it.
Retail is incredibly chaotic, especially right before closing. Could a cluster of voids at 8.55 p.m., right before a 9.00 p.m. batch close, simply be a rush of indecisive customers? You know, people panicking and changing their minds right before the store shuts its doors for the night.
It is a common defense, but the data destroys that excuse instantly.
How so?
Because we don't just look at the timestamp of the void itself. We introduce the elapsed time metric.
Ah, okay.
You filter your gateway data for voids where the time between the original authorization and the cancellation is under 10 minutes.
Because an indecisive customer authorizes a purchase and cancels it almost immediately while still standing at the counter.
Exactly. But a thieving employee authorizes a cash purchase at 2.0 p.m. and voids it at 8.55 p.m. The elapsed time on that ticket is nearly 7 hours.
Oh, that makes total sense.
Yeah, if you take those long elapsed voids and match them against your shift logs, the difference between an indecisive shopper and an internal theft scheme becomes undeniably clear.
The data provides the context that a physical camera just misses.
100%.
I mean, a camera sees an employee tapping buttons on a screen at 8.55 p.m., which looks like normal work.
Right.
But the CSV file sees a 7-hour delayed void, which proves theft.
Exactly. Now, internal thieves usually start small. They take a little cash here. They do a fake refund there. But eventually, they get greedy and they start partnering with external bad actors.
Which leads us perfectly into how processor data reveals external fraud rings that rely on internal vulnerabilities.
Yes, and we call these same card magnets.
Same card magnets.
This is a highly specific pattern where the exact same destination card receives refunds from multiple different cashiers within the same week.
And you track this by matching the BNON and the last four digits of the destination card across different operator IDs.
Yeah, that is right.
Because if three different employees working three different shifts are all processing manual returns to the exact same credit card, well, that is not a coincidence.
Not at all.
That destination card almost always belongs to an employee's spouse, a roommate, or a regular accomplice who is acting as the central collection point for the stolen funds.
It is basically an organized ring operating inside your store.
Yeah.
And the external threat escalates beyond just fake refunds. Let's talk about card-present chargebacks.
This is a big issue.
Under Visa rules, issuing banks can claw back funds up to 120 days after a transaction takes place.
A full 4 months later.
Right. And we are paying close attention to two specific reason codes in your reporting. Visa Reason Code 10.4, which denotes card-present fraud involving an EMV chip.
Okay.
And Reason Code 13.1, which is for services not provided.
Let's go back to that case study of the Northeast retailer. The same 90-day data pull that uncovered the $74,000 refund leak also revealed a cluster of Visa 10.4 chargebacks.
It did.
The total hit was $11,400. But these were not random chargebacks scattered across the customer base.
No, they were very concentrated.
They were tied to a single shipping zip code, yet they were filed by three completely different issuing banks within a 6-week window.
Which is a huge red flag.
Here's where it gets really interesting. I want to stop and look at the technical mechanics of this.
Okay.
You just said Visa 10.4 is an EMV chip fraud code.
Right.
But the source material says this pattern points to a cashier skimming magnetic stripe data.
Yes.
How does a swiped magnetic stripe result in a chip fraud chargeback?
Yes.
That feels like a contradiction.
It does sound like one, but that is the exact mechanism of the fraud. Here is how the criminals do it. Your compromised cashier uses a handheld skimmer to steal the magnetic stripe data from legitimate customers while ringing them up.
Okay, right at the counter.
Yes. The cashier sells that stripe data to an external fraud ring. The fraud ring then encodes that stolen stripe data onto a blank physical card.
So they make a clone.
Right, but they purposely damage the EMV chip on that blank card.
Oh, I see where this is going.
The fraudster walks into a completely different store with this cloned card. They insert it into the payment terminal.
And the chip fails.
The terminal tries to read the damaged chip and fails. It tries again, fails. After three failed chip reads, the terminal prompts the fraudster to swipe the magnetic stripe instead.
Which is called a fallback transaction.
Exactly. The swipe goes through, the purchase is approved, and the fraudster walks out with the goods.
Wow.
But weeks later, Visa's network sees that a card that was supposed to be processed via a secure EMV chip was forced into a less secure magnetic swipe.
Because the chip was purposely broken.
Right. So Visa flags it, determines it was fraud, and slaps the original merchant with a 10.4 chargeback.
So when you see a cluster of 10.4 codes tied to one zip code, it means your local cashier is the one harvesting the data.
Exactly.
That is brilliant and terrifying. A 10.4 chargeback actually means your terminal was used as the harvesting ground for a fallback scheme somewhere else.
Yes, it is all connected.
And speaking of harvesting, we also see card testing patterns in the raw data.
This is another massive one.
A fraudster will use your terminal, often with the help of a cashier, to validate lists of stolen card numbers. They run repeated sub-dollar authorizations, like 1 cent or $1.
Right. They aren't actually buying anything.
No, they don't care about buying anything. They're just looking for an approval response from the issuing bank.
Just checking if the card works.
Exactly. Once they get the approval code, they know the stolen card is active, and they immediately go make a massive purchase at an electronics store somewhere else.
Yeah.
Your processor logs every single one of those 1 cent attempts, including all the rapid declines that your cashier might throw away before the manager sees the receipt printer.
And the key realization for operators is that all of this activity, I mean, the sub-dollar tests, the fallback swipes, the 7-hour delayed voids, it all leaves a permanent, unalterable record.
It is all tracked.
The processor captures it, categorizes it, and holds it in the gateway portal waiting for you to look at it.
Which brings us to the operational reality of this whole conversation.
The action plan.
Right. So what does this all mean for your business? As a MyPayAdvisor operator, you are probably asking what you should actually do this week to stop these leaks and protect your margins.
Let's get into it.
We have a specific 5-step action plan for you to execute. Step one is immediate. Today, you need to log into your gateway portal, bypass the daily settlement screen, and pull a 90-day transaction level CSV extract.
You need the raw data in a spreadsheet. That is step one.
Step two.
Step two involves auditing your hardware. Check your point-of-sale terminal configuration today.
Just call your integrator if you have to.
Call them. You must ensure that operator IDs are actively tracking and forwarding with every single transaction. If your system groups everyone under a generic Register 1 ID, well, you cannot isolate the bad actors. You have to force the system to tie every swipe to a specific employee PIN.
Which makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Then step three is a simple policy setting in your point-of-sale software. You need to configure the system to require manager override approval for any manual refund over a specific dollar threshold.
And what is the usual sweet spot for that?
Usually $50 to $100 is the sweet spot, depending on your average ticket size.
Yeah.
You don't want to slow down the checkout line for a $10 return, obviously.
No, that would be a nightmare for the customer experience.
Right. But published retail case studies show this one specific setting cuts unreferenced refund fraud by 60 to 80%.
That is huge.
It really is. The cashier simply can no longer execute the large-scale theft alone. They're forced to get a second set of eyes on the transaction.
Step four deals directly with the chargeback clusters we discussed earlier.
The 10.4s and 13.1s.
Yeah. You need to subscribe to chargeback alert networks like Verify CDRN or Ethica Alerts.
How do those work?
Well, these services intercept the dispute process. They cost between 40 cents and $1 per alert. They notify you the moment a customer calls their bank to dispute a charge.
So you get a heads up.
Exactly, giving you a 24 to 72-hour window to voluntarily refund the transaction before it becomes an official chargeback.
Ah, so spending $1 to proactively refund a stolen card avoids the $15 to $40 network chargeback fee.
It is an easy mathematical decision. And more importantly, it protects your overall chargeback ratio with the card brand so you don't get your merchant account shut down.
That is a lifesaver.
Mm.
Finally, step five is about how you buy your processing in the first place. You have to move your merchant account from tiered pricing to an Interchange Plus model.
We talked about this at the top of the show.
Yes, we did. Tiered statements summarize your transactions into broad, meaningless buckets like qualified, mid-qualified, or non-qualified.
They intentionally hide the specific transaction category codes and the raw interchange costs.
Exactly. Interchange Plus pricing gives you the raw, unedited data you need for this exact type of forensic analysis, and it proves exactly what the processor is charging you above the wholesale network cost.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the shift we are advocating for is fundamental to modern retail.
It really is.
You are moving from a reactive physical security posture, you know, waiting to catch someone on camera, to a proactive data strategy where the math catches the thief for you.
Exactly. We started this deep dive talking about physical locks and digital vaults. We have proven that the data to catch a $75,000 internal leak is sitting in a free file that is generated every single month.
It is all right there.
So before we wrap up, I know we have covered a lot of ground today for refund ratios to EMV fallback schemes.
This raises an important question for the future, something you should really think about as you audit your systems this week.
What's that?
Well, we have been talking about human cashiers manually keying in these $720 refund frauds. But point of sale systems are